Matthew chapter 6. So here's a record that Jesus Christ teaches people how to pray. Let's go to chapter 6, verse 7. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. They keep repeating it over and over again. I remember years ago, back in the 70s, my first fellowship, there was a wonderful young man, and we were just learning, you know, we were all new to the Christian thing, and we, you know, I was the leader because I'd been in a Christian for a year, and these other people were my followers because they'd been a Christian for 6 months or something. We didn't know what we were doing, but you know what, we read a few verses and we believed them, and things happened. It was amazing. But anyway, this young man, he was kind of upset because he'd pray and then he kind of doubted that he had done it right, and so then he'd pray again. And then he doubted, well, maybe I didn't believe enough, or maybe I didn't pray right, so maybe I better do it again. You just got to trust, you know, God's there. He's listening to you. He's with us every breath we take. He knows. And every prayer, he's there. He hears us. You don't have to keep repeating it over and over again. And you don't have to use memorized prayers. I remember my grandmother was wonderful. She would pray. She had this memorized prayer she would use. It was something like, God is great, God is good, let us thank him for our food, or something like that. And it was kind of this little memorized little rhyme thing. And it's, you know, it's nothing wrong with praying that, but you don't want to just memorize the same thing. Because remember the five-year-olds? You have a little five-year-old, he isn't old enough to have a memorized prayer. He's just going to talk to God. You know, you teach him, you talk to God. He'll just talk to God and he'll pray. He won't be all shut down in a box. Oh, I got to do it this way. I got to put my hands just this way, you know, or did this or did this. Oh, geez, which, if I don't do it right, he won't answer me. Oh, no. Am I believing enough? Am I doing the right thing? Did I, oh, gosh, what, you know, it's simple. Five-year-old just prays and he gets results. He hasn't been reined in yet. He hasn't been taught to be afraid of God yet. He hasn't been taught to be afraid of the religious leaders yet. Verse 8, be ye not therefore like unto them. You gotta love King James. Be ye not, it's like, I think was Yoda part of the translation team, that, you know, when they translated the Bible in King James. Normal words use we not. I am Yoda. No. But be not therefore like unto them. Don't be like them. Sometimes I reword it and make it. Some of you guys probably have a normal translation, a more modern English or something you're reading.
Yeah, mine does.
Yeah. So it probably says, what does yours say?
So do not be like them.
There you go. Why couldn't the King James translators done that?
There's something we can talk about then.
I think it's because they wore tights and they probably was giving them a creeper and they were uncomfortable. And they're very good, uncomfortable. They said, I'm going to get some extra words here because I'm really uncomfortable today. So don't be like unto them. Your Father knows what things you have need of, even before we ask. After this manner. Now, it doesn't say memorize this word for word and repeat it. Also, it's interesting. The Lord's Prayer is in two places in the Bible. It's here in Matthew 6. It's also in Luke 11. And if you read them, they're not worded exactly the same. So if you're going to repeat it word for word, which one are you going to repeat? They're slightly different wording. They're almost identical.
That's why different denominations have different versions of it.
Yeah, so, and then you get a different translation. Oh my gosh, the Jerusalem Bible, and then you, this Bible, and this, which one are you going to memorize? You know, it's like getting back to the thing with the people, the sacred name. We don't know those people, that language is a dead language. We don't know exactly how they pronounce it. Was it Yahweh or was it Yahweh? Was it, you know, we don't know how they pronounced it. So if you got to pronounce it right and you get it wrong, you're in trouble. God's easy. And then after this manner, what does that mean? It's like a template. Anybody work on a computer? Yeah, we all do nowadays. You know, when you have a document, you have a template. When we do things in Word, we quite often start out with a template that might have a header and a footer and the company name on it. And it might be a template for a letter, and it automatically put the date in, and, you know, and sincerely at the bottom. Nobody ever signs their letters insincerely. Why is that?
No, I'm sorry. That was a dumb joke. But anyway,
so they have a template. And it's like for Excel. You know, we have these templates for Excel. And like where I work, we do buildings. And we use this program called Revit. Revit means it revises instantly. Revit. And so it's an amazing program. It does all these, and occasionally it won't do what you want it to, and you kind of grumble, you know, and say, you know, I want to work right. But we have templates. And when we start a new project, we have a template, and we base it on this template. And so we got the things we need to put into the building, a lot of it's built into the template. And it's got a lot of things set up, so it saves you from having to set. So basically, what Jesus Christ is saying, this is a template. Don't repeat it word for word, memorize it, and repeat it mindlessly. Don't be like the heathen. What did it say in King James? Be ye not therefore like unto them. Gotta love that. So it's a template. So first thing we do is we pray. It says in King James, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be the art in heaven. But nobody says art. Well, if you guys ever said, you know, when I go to art, I think of art gallery, you know, art. You know, I had an uncle Art, but nobody says art, you know, we don't need that. But when we pray to God, we address him as our Father. And then, hallowed. Nobody says hallowed, but basically it's saying we have respect for God. God is our Father. He takes care of us. Oh my God, we didn't deserve this. He gave his only son for us. He died a horrible death. His body was broken. His blood was shed so we could be sin-free and we could be healthy. Well, of course we have respect. Thy kingdom come. There's things coming. There's a time coming when Jesus Christ is going to come back. You know, I remember last year there was all that buzz on the internet. Everybody thought Christ was coming back. What was it, September 23rd, 2017? And there's still probably about 30 or 40 people out there that are really pissed at me because I said you have to be dumber than a box of rocks to believe that. Thy kingdom, there's things coming. God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And then verse 11, the first word there is give. What is give? Give is a verb. It's a command. Wait a minute. We command things to happen when we pray? Yes, God wants us to command things to happen. We were taught in the old way ministry, we always thank you, God, for taking care of my problem. Well, Jesus Christ said, give me a solution to my problem. Now, that's a subtle difference in how we pray, but it's because God wants us to be aggressive in our prayer. He wants us to take charge. He wants us to get results. And I'm going to show you a couple places here at the end of the teaching where the word, when we says we ask God for things, it's also the word demand. And it's like, I was just teaching this to somebody over the phone the other night. I was calling somebody. I always end up talking to people in other parts of the country and stuff. And I was teaching this young woman, we demand. It's like when you have a check. It's like if I write a check to Robert for $100. Robert, you go to the bank. You sit, go up to the teller and said, if you're not too busy, could I have 25? No. But people do that with God. There's promises in the Word that promise us, maybe not literally $100, but they promise us good health. They promise us long life. They promise that he'll take care of our children's children. We don't go in and say, God, well, you know, if you're not too busy, could you like deliver at least on part of this promise? No, we demand full payment on the promises of God. That's how we pray. That's how we walk. That's how we live. Like those 5-year-olds. We don't need to be all corrupted by the world and say, oh, we can't pray that way. God will get mad at us. No, he'll be disappointed if we don't pray that way, if we don't walk that way. So where was I? Verse 12. And forgive. Oh, okay. Give us this day our daily bread. Thank you, Diane. Now it's not literally that we pray for, I need a loaf of Wonder Bread today. Well, actually, I don't like Wonder Bread. I would pray for sourdough because it tastes better. And actually, the bacteria in there helps break down some of the bad things in the bread, and it's actually healthier for you than the other white bread. But then there's gluten in there, which talking too much. But it's not that we literally pray for bread. We pray, what that bread is a metaphor, and it literally means we pray for what we need. Now maybe we have enough bread, but we need peanut butter and jelly to put on it. Or maybe we need some water to wash it down. Or maybe we need a shirt so we can go outside and be warm. Or a new pair of shoes that doesn't have holes in it. Or you get the bee. It's pray for what you need. Put in whatever you have as a need in the place of the daily bread. And that's the template. See, the template just has the space daily bread. You remove the daily bread thing and plug in what you need and pray for that. That's why it's a template. That's why it says after this manner, not word for word repeat like the heathen do. Thank you for saying that, Diane. And verse 12, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And you got to walk in forgiveness. But we have to walk in forgiveness. Now, we know that our forgiveness is not contingent on us forgiving others, because this was written before the day of Pentecost, before Jesus Christ died and his blood was shed, that we could walk in forgiveness. But after we're born again, sometimes we go out and do stupid things. Like yesterday, I robbed 3 banks. No, I didn't. Maybe we did something bad that we shouldn't have done. And we say, God, forgive me. You know, I did something I shouldn't have done. And he forgives us, and we walk in forgiveness. And your prayers work better when you... And we also forgive others. There's a lot of people that have done nasty things that sometimes you have to just forgive them, and then you move on. Maybe you no longer trust them, but you forgive them. There's some people that were in my past that have done awful things, and I forgive them, but I'll never let them back into the position where they can do those awful things to me again. I'm not stupid, but we don't hold bitterness in, because if you hold in bitterness, it's poison and it eats you from the inside out, and everybody around you gets infected with that poison, and it spreads, and it'll destroy a fellowship, it'll destroy a ministry, it'll destroy a family. It's just terrible. Verse 13, I love this, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil. So God, lead us in a good way. Heavenly Father, lead me in a good way, not into temptation, but lead me down the right path. Because quite often, you got multiple choices, you get career choices, sometimes you'll... I've had many times in my life where I've had 2 job offers, and which one do I take? Do I, do this one or this one? And by the 5 senses, I can't tell. So you sleep on it, and God tells you, why don't you do this one over here? It's a lot better than this one. And then you look back on it, and it's like, oh my God, why did I even consider that other one? But we don't always have complete information. So God needs to lead us in a good way. And we need deliverance, because there is a devil out there. He is a defeated spiritual being. When he went to war with God, he was here. But when he lost the war, he got knocked down a couple steps. But he still has power. He's been knocked down. He looks more impressive and more evil than he is, but he's a paper tiger in many instances. He can still kill, steal, and destroy. He's still got a lot of power, but we have more power than he does, and we can back him down. We resist the devil, he has to flee. But we can't do it on our own. By our five senses, we do not have the power to stop the devil. But spiritually, with the name of Jesus Christ, we can back him down and win every single time.